So, Hari Hari Bol. Let me just summarize what we had heard yesterday. Yesterday we discussed how Krishna came into Mathura. You remember he walked down the Raj Patath, that means the king's road, which must have led directly through Mathura, and he met and responded to two different types of devotees. There was first the washerman of Kamsa, the one who took care of his clothes. We could imagine he had something like the task to wash and dye the cloth. And Krishna, who thought, well, I'm now in Mathura, sent Kamsa a sign that he was there. He took the cloth and dressed in the king's cloth. He wanted to show him that, Kamsa, I have arrived now. The person you have thought so much about is here, and I have taken on my own what belongs to me. And soon I will take everything from you, not just the cloth. The washerman had not desired to serve Krishna. In fact, he had opposed the service to Krishna. And as a result, Krishna took him away from that body. Now, quite different. A total different scene, a very contrasting scene happened when Krishna wanted to have some decorations and went to the house of his dear devotee Sudama. And we had heard how Sudama was so enthusiastic when he saw Lord Krishna. He prayed to him. And then he gave him the best of flower garlands, which he had specifically prepared for the Lord's pleasure. And we know Krishna then asked Sudama to request him for a blessing. And we all, I think, were very much moved to hear Sudama wanting three things from Krishna. Achalam bhakti, that is unshakable bhakti, which would not be disturbed in any situation. Then the second was, friendship to his devotees. That's the second blessing which Krishna gave to Sudama. And the third was a compassionate outlook towards all living entities. I strongly want to recommend to all of you to take these three points in your prayers when you asked for the Lord's mercy upon you. Asked for bhakti, asked for friendship to his devotees, and asked for a compassionate attitude. Now, from this, we can really learn something, that those who decline to serve Krishna are as good as dead, although their breathing is still going on. I would like to read to you from the second canto of the Bhagavatam the immortal words of Shukadev Goswami, which encourage all of us to bow down with our heads to Krishna, to use our fingers in active service, to use our heart in the Lord's service, the bhava seva, the service full of emotions. Here are the words. The head decorated with turban and crown, which does not bow down to Krishna, is simply a heavy weight which will drown the person in the ocean of samsara. And the hands which do not make loving offerings to the Lord. Though decorated with glittering golden bracelets, are those of a dead person. Man's eye, which do not see the form of the Lord, are like the eyes on a peacock feather. Dead, dead. And the legs, which do not move to the holy places, are considered to be like tree trunks, rooted to the ground. Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur says, the legs which are not used to move to the temple are like tree trunks to be cut down by the axes of the Yamadutas. Oh. And that person who has not at any time received the dust of the Lord's pure devotees upon his head, he is certainly a dead body. So, after criticizing the different parts of the body, Shukadev Goswami speaks about the internal nature of a person who has not engaged in the service of Krishna, chanting with tears of love in his eyes. He says, that heart which does not transform on hearing the names of the Lord, even though he makes a show of tears in the eyes and hair standing on end, that heart is made of iron. Actually, someone who chants and makes a show, I'm a big chanter, this is the idea here, but whose heart is not transformed with love, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, his heart is like a fish hook. It is hard and it is bent, it is crooked, it is not straight, it's not nice. So this is the immortal teachings of the Bhagavatam, which I wanted to tell you, so as to inspire you. Now, let us return to Krishna and Balaram moving on the Rajpata. We had described that they were enchantingly beautiful, and we wanted to show you a little bit of the beauty of Krishna and Balaram, which is an important aspect of our Krishna Katha. It is described that when Krishna and Balaram moved down, there were virtually millions of people. There were so many people because there was a festival which was going to take place the next day. The next day was Shivaratri, that is the glorification of Lord Shiva's birthday. And because Kamsa was a worshipper of Lord Shiva, therefore he had made ample arrangements for the festival. You know, he had made an extra arena in which he had invited the people to come, and in that arena there was a wrestling it's called akara, I think. Is it called akara? These roped in area, there was white sand, and there it's quadrangular, and there the wrestlers were about to show their skills and their muscles for the pleasure of the king and the people. So Krishna and Balaram were supposed to also wrestle. Kirkans had arranged them, but as we already know, we have our spies already all over. Kamsa wanted actually his restless to kill Krishna Balaram. So anyways, on the day before Shivaratri, there were millions of people on the Rajpata, and Krishna Balaram walked down, and we just wanted to show you, no, not this, Krishna Balaram, I just wanted to, I saw these beautiful pictures of Krishna Balaram, and I think we should see them, because they are just so mind-enchantingly beautiful. These are pictures which the devotees have done in Alachua. No, Panunanini, you showed me yesterday. Here they are. Here they're coming, yes. See, the white one is Balaram, and the black one is Krishna. You know everything. They are still covered in their eyes. Look at the beautiful faces. Look how joyful Krishna looks. He's just ready to totally drive his devotees mad with his extraordinary beauty. Look how Balaram peeks out. Oh, he looks at you, Madhava. Hare Krishna. Oh, wonderful. When we look at the eyes of the Lord, we should see this little red line. Can you see it? Under the whiteness? Huh? No? Yes? Good. That Aruna picture, that is where the Lord sends his blessings to his devotees. It's from that red line where he does it. Krishna Balaram ki jai. So they came down this Rajpata, and Krishna's eyes, you know, the redness of his eyes fell on one special person, a young lady, Kubja, who was extremely beautiful in her face, but who had a hunchback. She was bent over, carrying a large plate with sandalwood and different ointments for Kamsa. Kamsa liked these ointments very much because they decorated his bodies, and some of them were also fragrant. And when Krishna saw Kubja with her hunchback, he started to laugh. Now, normally no one would laugh about a handicapped person. It's not polite to laugh about a person's handicap. But Krishna laughed. Why? He could recognize that Kubja was actually Prithvi Devi, the earth, who was bent over because there were these terrible rulers like Kamsas, who were actually tyrants and demons. So Krishna now was ready to display his mission and take care of the impious rulers. So he laughed with joy. He also had a humorous idea. He thought, you have such a beautiful face, but your body is crunched over. Brahma has made a mistake in your case. And he was also thinking, my dear Mother Earth, in a previous incarnation I was Vamana, a small person, a dwarf. And you are also small because of your hunchback, so together we would make a good couple. Krishna laughed. He was joyous. A third reason why Krishna laughed is he was thinking of his gopis. The gopis will think, we are the most beautiful ladies and you were together with us in Vrindavan, but you did not think very carefully when you left Vrindavan for Mathura. Now all you get is a hunchbacked lady. So Krishna was laughing, knowing the protest and the extraordinary thoughts of his beloved gopis. So he thought it was... let us appreciate Krishna's transcendental nature. He then asked, what is the ointment which you are carrying? And Kupcha said, well, I'm carrying the ointments for the king. But I think the two of you, the two brothers, are more beautiful than the king. You should be decorated with these anjans. Anjans is like oils and sandalwood nectar. And she immediately went to Krishna, took her hand, and started to rub sandalwood on his body from the navel upwards. And then when she came to Krishna's face, she took her left hand under the chin of Lord Krishna and then started to paint beautiful eye decorations. Don't know if we have eye decorations. We will try to show you these eye decorations which Krishna has, which are really extraordinary. And the reason why Kupcha immediately forgot to serve Kamsa was because Krishna had showered her with two kinds of nectar from his face. Do you know what are the two kinds of nectar which are in the face? Smile. That's a nectar. And sweet words. If I, for instance, would call you all the best of the devotees, this would be a nectar, and you would feel as your hungry ears would drink this. Say more about this. Why are we the best of the devotees? Well, you came up into a 1,400 meter heights, that's higher than you ever went, just to hear about Krishna. It shows your determination, and you are always awake in the classes, you know, and you would feel, oh, this is the second type of nectar, sweet words. So Queen or Kubja was totally happy about this, and she made this decoration. Can you please see these wonderful eye decorations? There are many eye decorations of which are put on Krishna's eyes. Maybe Krishna must have remembered when Kupcha did this decoration. He must have remembered his own mother Yashoda, who used to always do this in the morning and make Krishna ready like this. So I want to go quickly through Kupcha. Kupcha became overwhelmed by Krishna's beauty and by his charm, and as she was decorating him so closely, can you imagine to decorate Krishna so closely? Her heart was stolen by Krishna, and she lost all her fear of Kamsa, who would kill her if he would find out that she had actually taken the ornaments which were meant for him to decorate his deadly arch enemy Krishna. Kupcha was just carefree. She felt now my perfection of life is there. I can even lose my life, no problem. My dear devotees, I was staying last year in Puri, and I remember there was a very, very nice scene which I was often seeing. I would sometimes go at for the Mangal Arati to Tota Gopinath. The Mangal Arati started around 5 o'clock, if I remember correctly. And then, after everyone had gone, the pujaris kept the altar open, and one pujari was coming to Gopinath with a little pot of sandalwood, and he was would use a little, I think it was like a silver stick, and he would kneel down before Gopinath, and he would make this extraordinary eye decorations. I think in your slideshow, Madhavananda, we have seen some of the eye decorations of Gopinath, which are really very, very wonderful. And I remember this devotee spoke good English. He came from the Madras temple, Chennai temple. And I asked him what he did here in Puri, and he said that he felt overly attracted to the beauty of Lord Gopinath, and now every morning his seva is to make the eye ointments of the Lord. So Kupcha somehow got that same seva, very confidential seva. Kupcha, whose mother earth and who had her fragrance on a plate for Krishna, you know, that anjans, sandalwood, paste and everything, was now able to serve Krishna and was reinstated in her natural position. So, as a result, Krishna was so pleased with her that he stepped quickly on her beautiful toes, then took his two fingers, Radha Govinda Maharaj describes it like this, his two fingers of each hand on her chin, and then gave her a jerk. And as Krishna did this major surgical invasion, so to say, he straightened out the back of Kupcha, who became straight and most beautiful. Hare Krishna. Wonderful, isn't it? Just imagine Kupcha coming so close and Krishna coming so close. What a loving interaction between the Lord and his devotee. That is simply, simply wonderful. So, I want to now talk about dreams. Now, as you have heard, maybe, King Kamsa had received from Lord Shiva a bow. Do I say it right? Bow or bow? Bow, I think we say it. Which was as splendid as the bow of the Lord of the Universe, Indra. It means it was full of the most shiny materials. And when Shiva had given his worshipper Kamsa this bow, he had given him a very special information. He had said, as long as this bow is intact and not broken, you will live. But when it is broken, then the next day you will be dead. Imagine you would have an item. Let me say, if this was a ragini given to me by Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva would have said, Sachinanda Swami, as long as this ragini lives, you are living. Can you imagine how carefully I would protect this instrument, this ragini, Govinda? Can you imagine? I would not allow, I would not give it to anyone. I would not have it in an insecure place where it could be stolen or damaged in any way. I would always put it in the car myself and never give it to Gaurahari, who sometimes breaks things. I would really be careful about it. So Kangsa took care of this bow just like one would take care of one's very life. He had engaged many guards who used the day and the night to stood guard by the bow, which was worshipped in a temple. Kamsa was such so faithful to this bow that he arranged a puja for it in the temple. There were brahmanas who were a little atheistic because they worshipped a bow. These brahmanas, we will hear some words of them later, who just did puja to this bow. Bo Swaha, Bo Swa Namaste. You know, they would do, because Kangsa had said, as long as this is all right, my life is there. It was a beautiful bow, and the weight was calculated to be 350,000 times 1,000 kilo. I do not know how to think of such a weight, but let me tell you, it was super heavy. So, when the evening came down and the sun started to approach the western horizon, Krishna, who had walked through the town and had looked, had greeted many of his devotees, felt he wanted to give another sign to Kamsa. So he started to ask around, "Where's the bow of Shiva?" The people said, "You don't know. You go straight this lane, then you take a left turn, and then you find the temple, and then there, worshipped by many brahmanas, is this bow." So Krishna walked into the temple arena of the bow with Balaram, smiling like a little boy, and said, "Is this the famous bow? It doesn't appear to be very big." And then little Krishna proceeded towards the bow. The guards could see him coming, became highly alert with their lances, and they noticed how Krishna climbed over the fence into the arena of the bow. "Stop, stop, 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 stop," said the guard. "Stop!" Because they had heard from Kamsa, if an extraordinary little boy should appear, he is the angel of my death. He will bring my death about. Stop him. Kill him immediately. So Krishna didn't care. He went to the bow of Lord Shiva and he lifted the bow. As we know, he is in the habit of lifting bow and breaking bows. As Lord Rama, he did that also. And he said, "This is a very lightweight bow. It is a little useless bow." And he just strung the bow and he draw the bow, and while the people stood there with their lances and go, oh no, and then all of a sudden, bam, the bow exploded. And it was so loud when the bow broke into pieces that it shattered the eardrums. People fell to the ground and fainted. And when Kamsa, who was sitting in his palace waiting for the next day, heard the breaking of the bow, his heart sank deeply into his body, and he knew now he has come. Krishna looked around as everyone gazed at him with surprise and anger and wanted to move away quickly. But at that moment, an army division arrived, which had been sent by Kamsa, and started to attack Krishna. So Krishna simply took one half of the bow, Balaram took another half of the bow, and they started to move the bow with elegance. And it needed only a touch of the Lord so that the aggressors who wanted to kill him were sent on the other side of life into a very blissful life as liberated souls. So now the sun was setting in the horizon. You must know, every morning in religious Indian villages, the women will go in the morning out of their houses. They will take their zaris a little bit like this, you know, like making room to catch something, and they will look towards Surya Dev and prayerfully say, "Oh Surya, as you rise now on the eastern horizon, we beg from you one gift. Give health to our husbands, our sons and daughters, and the animals around the house." So Surya is worshipped for good health. I'm always a little sad, because nowadays when we go into the sun, we are warned, "Have you put your sun cream on, Maharaj? There is cancer when you have no sun cream. Have you put this on, your special sun protection?" US truck driver hat, and so on. And I feel very sad that the atmosphere of Bhumi Devi is ill, is sick. Mother Earth has been destroyed by the demons, and therefore she has lost her layer of protection. The sun rays are now too strong for human skin. I feel very sad, because usually sun in a healthy atmosphere is considered to give life. Now the sun was setting, and it meant the last night for King Kangsa. Who of you likes psychology? Smita Krishna Maharaj, this is for you now. I want to go a little bit into the dreams of Kamsa, but because it's so sick and sickening, I will first talk about Krishna and Balaram. Maybe we can ask our Darshan devotee. So Krishna and Balaram had now come back from Mathura, and they went to where Nanda Maharaj waited. Do you know where Nanda Maharaj was camped? In the outskirts of Mathura. So Krishna and Balaram went back there. Das ist sehr schön. Yeah. They came, and they hadn't eaten the whole afternoon, because there was a special preparation waiting for them. When Mother Yashoda had finally tearfully said goodbye to Krishna and Balaram, she had put a pot with the milk of Braja's cows and a little rice in the sweet, on a coal burner, a small burner. Now you find these burners also, but they are little, very simple. They are buckets which have a little bit clay in them, and then they have a hole, and they put, the Brijbasis put firewood in there, and then they burn. Have you seen this, Richie? You must have seen, isn't it? So Mother Yashoda had made one small burner like this, and the whole time when Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda and the cowherd men went on that lonely road to Mathura, that sweet rice had boiled and it was ready in the evening. Krishna and Balaram came to Nanda Maharaj and Nanda Maharaj served them that sweet rice made by Mother Yashoda with love and devotion. Just imagine the scene, you know. Krishna has just broken the bow. The whole army wanted to get him. There were friends and enemies, you know, devotees and non-devotees in Mathura. And now he sits down. He has not touched anything. He has not drunken anything in Mathura. He just sits down to eat the preparation from his mother. He felt very blissful. Then, when he had eaten, Krishna Balaram, like the moon and the star, got on a blanket and slept next to each other. The Bhagavatam says, Gyatva Kamsa Shikirshitam. They were fully aware of the plans of Kamsa, which were to destroy them and to kill them. But they were lying very peacefully under a bullock cart, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is captured by the love of his devotees in Vrindavan. And they slept with a wonderful, blissful smile, having eaten the sweet rice of Mother Yashoda. This is God, you know. He is never worried. Imagine, you know that next morning there is a whole arena waiting for you where you are supposed to be mercilessly killed in the public. You know, would you be carefree? No. I even cannot sleep when I know the next day is the dentist, you know. Krishna and Balaram were heavily sleeping and were heavily enjoying the love, while Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd boys, cowherd men and boys stood alert with lances. Nanda Maharaj thought, Narayan has acted through Krishna, who doesn't know his limits. He has just broken the bow. He should not have done it, but who can say no to Krishna? He always has reasons why he does things. But see, Kamsa doesn't know that really it was Narayan who broke the bow through my little Krishna. And he will hold Krishna responsible and will make plans to take revenge on Krishna. This is wrong. So he had just to be to do the activity of a father, arranged the cowherd boys to stand with spears everywhere. They were ready for Kamsa. How did Kamsa spend his night? Well, he couldn't really sleep. A person who's overcome by deep anxieties can't sleep. Do some of you have sleep problems? Govinda looks at me. Not me. Jai Gopal, no sleep problems. Sometimes before an examination, have you seen? Sleep problem comes. I have a lot of sleep problems. I need a hammer each night to knock me down because my mind is so active. But so when it said usually when a person is overcome by anxiety, he can't sleep at night. Kamsa was dreaming, however, in the night. There are two scriptures, Jyotish Shastra and Swapna Vichar, who tell us how to evaluate dreams. So I want to go now into the dreams of Kamsa. Are you ready? Yes. It will be quite inauspicious. Kamsa knew what his dreams meant because he had heard from the Brahmanas some interpretation. So this is what he was in the night, when he was not asleep, when he looked in the water or the mirror, he could not see his head. Have you ever looked into the mirror and you couldn't see your head? Where's my head? I want to put tilak on this thing. When he looked at the moon and other planets, they appeared to be double. Two moons. When he covered his ears with his palms, he could not hear his heartbeat. Let's do that, you know, but we need no music for this. I hope you can hear your heartbeats. If not, you will soon die. Everyone can see, can hear his heartbeats. You must... I hope. I can hear my heartbeats like the ocean going prong against a cliff. When Kamsa walked in the dust on the mud and looked around, there were no footprints. This was already a dream. When he saw in the dream the trees, they appeared to be covered with a golden hue. In his dream, he saw dead bodies moving out of their, wherever they were lying, and embracing him. Yeah! He saw himself riding on a donkey, drinking poison. Then he saw a naked man, smeared all over with oil like a corpse. And he saw he was wearing the reddish flowers of the Nalanda plant. That's a plant which is offered to Kali. Kamsa knew this meant sure death. I have done a little research into dream psychology, and here is what Bharata saw one morning. Bharata, the son of Dasharat, brother of Ram, one morning was waking up and tried to forget the dream. He shook his head, but he couldn't forget the dream, so he sat on his bed and cried. He was separated from his father and brother by many kilometers. When his friends went into his sleeping room and said, "You look so sad. What is troubling your heart?" Bharata replied, "In a dream I saw my father looking dejected. He was falling from the peak of a mountain into a filthy pool. He seemed to be laughing and he swam around in that little pool. I then saw the ocean dry, the moon fallen upon the earth, and the entire world attacked by demons. My father, dressed in black, wore a crimson garland and smeared his body with red sandalwood paste. He got up upon a chariot which was drawn by donkeys and rode thousands to the south west." Who knows what is it? What is south west? What is the location of that? Yamaraj lives there. South west. When you build a house and you have an entrance in the south west, for sure there will be a dead death in your house. Yamaraj will come through that door and snatch one of you. Never built a southwest entrance. We once did this. We had a house with a southwest entrance, and several people died in that house. It's one shouldn't joke. Bharata said, suddenly I hate myself for no reason. Surely some great calamity is imminent. And we know that his brother Ram, who was supposed to be made king, had been exiled and sent into the forest. And in his stead, in Ram's stead, Bharata had been made king, even in his absence. So this is a science to read omens and dreams, and Kamsa knew it very well. But my dear devotees, I want to say one thing. Kamsa, by that time, could have gone to Krishna and surrendered to him. And Krishna would have forgiven him. But because Kamsa had the mood of an asura, the asura bhava, therefore he remained stubbornly. In fact, he remembered how in the evening he had told the restless how to kill Krishna by hitting his soft spots. So Kamsa was ready for the great purification called death from the hands of the Lord. Hare Krishna. Now, I want to come to the morning of the great day of Kamsa's deliverance. My dear devotees, I like this pastime of Krishna enters Mathura very much, because tells me personally two things. We see very clearly the difference between devotees and how they react. Remember Sudama, who lovingly decorated Krishna. Remember Kubja, how she painted Krishna's face. Remember the tailor who made some custom-made cloth by using Kamsa's cloth to decorate Krishna. And remember the demons who don't turn to Krishna, who are turning away from Krishna. Remember Kamsa, his dreams, his enigmatic dreams and his prophetic dreams. I think we can learn a lot by listening to this, to make up our own mind on which side we want to stand. I always remember George Harrison, who said, when the time comes when we are counted, I want to be counted amongst the devotees, not the entertainers and not the materialists. So I also feel, as the Lord of Love enters Mathura, a great yearning in my heart to give my love and devotion to Krishna. We will now watch a little bit as Krishna enters the arena. And I will put a little meditative technique into your life. I want to do something which I have learned from Ignatius of Loyola and later from Krishna Chetraprabhu. I want you to join the Krishna Leela in a role of a spectator, as an observer. So, the next morning, Krishna woke up, and there was already a sound coming from Mathura, from the arena which was there. There was musicians in the arena who played very nice and enlivening morning music. The Brahmanas chanted in Mathura auspicious songs, and Krishna and Balaram went down to the Yamuna to take their bath. They loved the Yamuna. In their Vrindavan pastimes, they were every day playing in the Yamuna, and we hear from the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Krishna was actually bathing in the Yamuna with his most beloved devotees, the gopis. Krishna would often, when he couldn't meet the gopis, go a little bit downstream, and when the water of the Yamuna came and carried the flowers which the gopis were wearing and the kajal, the black eyeliner which they took, and attached Krishna's body, he felt just very happy remembering his dearest devotees. Krishna took his morning bath in the Yamuna, and then he went to Nanda Maharaj and said, "Oh, Baba, you kindly go already in the arena where the wrestling match is going to take place. I am able to go there alone. I want don't worry for my sitting arrangement. My friends will be there and reserve places. You kindly go already. I have some small thing to do and then I come." Krishna was thinking that he knew that Kamsa had stationed his war elephant Kuvalayadapida before the entrance of the arena. This elephant waited for Krishna to kill him, and Krishna was thinking, if I go with Nanda Maharaj, and Nanda Maharaj sees how there is this plan to assassinate me, he will maybe take my hand and say, "Son, this is a dangerous place. We should immediately go back to Vrindavan." So Krishna sent Nanda Maharaj alone, and there were sitting arrangements in the arena according to Varnas, and there was one sitting arrangement reserved for the people of Braj, and Nanda went there and he looked at this huge arena. Have you ever been in a massive football stadium? I also never was there, but I've seen in the TV the massive arrangements. How many people can sit down in a football stadium? Does anyone know? 60,000? Up to 100 even. The bigger arenas, up to 100. Would be nice to make a kirtan event there for 100,000. I can see it already on the middle of the lawn. We have a good stage with good loudspeakers. For then Madhava comes with his extra special dhoti for the event and sings beautiful songs. And Madhumati is with her fast cartels there. Would be nice. Oh, may these times quickly come. So this was an arena, but here, my dear devotees, millions took place. It was specially built for this purpose, to be a sportive arena where the king would see on Shiva's birthday wrestling matches for the pleasure of one and all. So the audience was fully seated and entertained to beautiful music, which had this little active music for wrestling. You know, everyone was getting in the mood. Yes, wrestling. The wrestlers who previously sat on mats got up and showed their big bodies and muscles, you know, and they showed them to all the sections in the audiences, and then they showed them where the women sat, and the women fainted. Ooh! It was really a big thing, you know. Then King Kangsa came and entered with his ministers. And when he came, there was a stir in the atmosphere. Oh, Kamsa. And then as Kamsa was greeted by everyone, Jeho, Jeho, the king, and sat down, everything became very solemn. You can't believe the influence of Kamsa. I've just heard a lecture from Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj where he says that Kamsa's rule was not limited to the earth. He was so strong that he had actually defeated Indra in combat and thrown his war elephant Airavata on the ground. He was the prominent person in the universe. So he sat down. He was nervous. I think he didn't sleep very nice in the night because of all these dreams. So he must have had a little black under the eye. But he was a strong person and from royalty, and he looked really impressive. Now at that moment, all of a sudden, there was some little noise from one of the lower entrances, and the lower entrance opened, and all of a sudden, Krishna and Balaram, whom you can see here, came walking slowly into the arena. They clearly didn't come like someone who had come too late, you know, and wants to hide his face. I'm too late, I know, I'm just you know. No, they came marching with the gait of a slow young baby elephant into the arena. And how did they look? My dear devotees, they looked extraordinarily exquisite, but also thought-provoking. Each one, Balaram and Krishna, had a huge tusk of an elephant over their shoulder, and on their beautiful bodies there were beautiful sprinkles of red blood. And but they looked beautiful. Don't think this was not aesthetic. Krishna was most aesthetic, and he moved into the arena, and everyone in the arena started to look at them. They only had eyes for Krishna Balaram. It seemed that the whole audience became like one eye. No, two eyes. It seemed as if the whole audience became one lung. So beautiful. They had heard that Krishna had broken the sacrificial bow. They had heard many things, but now everyone, even from the surrounding villages, could see Krishna and Balaram very nicely. Now there is an interesting verse, which is the only verse which I will read to you today in Sanskrit. Malanam ashaneninam naravara strinam smaro murtimang gopanam svajano satam chitibujam shasta svapitru shishu. Shishu means small boy. Mrityo bhoja pate virat avidushang tatvang parang yoginam Vishninam paradevateti vidito rangam gata sagraja. Wow, it's not even starting and the children are getting already excited. The various groups of people in the arena once again. The various groups of people in the arena saw Krishna in different ways when he entered with his elder brother Balaram. The wrestlers saw Krishna as a lightning bolt coming from the sky. they could feel, wow, someone has come here. The men of Mathura saw Krishna as the best of males. The women saw him as the god of love in person. The cowherd men saw Krishna as their relative. The impious rulers saw Krishna as a chastiser. His parents saw Krishna as their child. The king of the Bhojas saw Krishna as death. The unintelligent saw Krishna as the Supreme Lord's universal form, and the yogis as the absolute truth. My dear devotees, I think this is Sri Kanta. Kannst du vielleicht den Kindern sagen, oder du bist doch auch ein Kind, sag doch deinen Mitkindern, dass wir gerade in einer etwas meditativen Stimmung sind, dass die vielleicht nicht so laut sind? Danke. So, I want to say, you see always according to the consciousness which you have. We have a European writer, Franz Kafka. I do not know if you have read Kafka literature. I once read it, and there was he describes a rebel who has opposed the government, the tyrannical government, and who is now brought before the people to the Shafot. This rebel is a young man. He is very much trained in the arts of rebellion. You know, he's strong, in other words. And he goes, and he knows it will be his last meters which he walks. All the people for whom he fought are on the marketplace, but they are afraid of the tyrannical rule which is ruling the country. So no one is on his side, but everyone loves him. No one, you know, says something or fights for him, or so he goes there. He is sad because now the people whom he tried to help are just looking how he will be killed. He walks alone. The people who are there are the few Henkersknechte, we say in German, people who bring him to the Schafott, you know, who have swords and who lead his rope. But he walks with grace and dignity. And as people see this man who's dying for his country, they all begin to cry. No, some begin to cry. Some women, it is described, knew this rebel as their friend, childhood friend, and they really cannot look. They go home. Other men who are strong, see the tremendous strength and sacrifice, and they become full of admiration, and they say, in 1 week or 2 weeks we will do the same, you know. And it's described very masterfully by the master of European literature, Franz Kafka is considered to be one, how everyone, seeing the rebel in his own consciousness, responds to him in a very particular way. Now, take this principle and add the theology of rasa, and then you have what happened in Mathura. According to the rasa theology, we all have a certain relationship to Krishna, and certain udipans, or it means stimulants, which we see in Krishna, begin to touch our heart in a very particular way. It depends a little bit on our rati, our inborn love, or stai bhava. And then, as these udipans, which are appropriate to our mood of love, touch us as we see Krishna, a most amazing exhilaration is born in our heart, and we feel rasa. So when Krishna entered through that little door and walked right into the middle of the arena so that everyone could see him, different people according to their particular view saw something special in Krishna and became totally amazed and bound to him. I want to ask you now, would you like to know some details? What is of interest of you? Would you like to know how the wrestlers saw Krishna? Or would you like me to talk about the men of Mathura and their perspective? Or would you like to know the young women of Mathura? Or Krishna's friends? Or the impious ruler? Or Krishna's parents? Or would you like to know what went on in Kamsa? Tell me, and I will do my best to satisfy your inquisitiveness. Would you like to know how the yogis like Sanaka saw Krishna? All of them. Any special favorite you have? I think we should ask Smita Krishna Maharaj. No? The young ladies. Why? Quite interesting to hear how lovingly they saw Krishna. This is all from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So the young women of Mathura, they were from very pious backgrounds. These Mathura Vasis are very special persons, and they were free from lust. So when they looked at the beauty of Krishna's body, they saw Krishna's overwhelming beauty and saw him as the original Cupid, the original God of love. All of a sudden, love came to them, feelings came to them. They were quite shy about them. They felt very attracted to Krishna and bashfully looked into his direction. They felt Sringara Ras and had only one question: when will I be together with Krishna privately? That was their only question. Nice, isn't it? This is how their love came out. We know in Sringara Ras, the devotees who relate like this to Krishna want to give everything to Krishna for Krishna's pleasure, including their bodies, their mind, their words, their bodies, everything. Who else wants to has a question? Kamsa, wow, yes. Kamsa, the king of the Bojas, saw Krishna as his own death, who had come to take him to the other world. Krishna, who is a stream of sweet intoxicating nectar, does not have the svarupa of death. This is, but Kamsa, because he was in a very, very frightful mood, fearful mood of Krishna, he superimposed something on Krishna. And as a result, he didn't really taste Krishna, but only a transient and only a dim reflection. It is called an abhasa in the mood of fright. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He was not able to see Krishna very clearly. He saw Krishna, you know, with this tooth and then sprinkled with blood. And he saw, late it is described by Jiva Goswami, when Krishna came into the arena, Kamsa asked his servants, who are they? Krishna and Balaram came. And the servant said, these are the two. And at that moment, Kamsa said, why do you even talk about them? He had a very difficult relationship. Why do you even talk about them? They had not talked about it, the servants, but they knew better we keep silent, you know. And then Kamsa went down from his podest and went through the door and saw his war elephant was dead. The Mahout was dead. And he knew this was Krishna Balaram. Then he went up again to his podest. And then Krishna and Balaram, you know, it's described very beautifully. There was a huge explosion of love by all these people of Mathura who sat on the arenas. Kamsa forbid them, the people, to play music, but the musicians went like, why do we have to listen to this? They played more. No one listened to Kamsa any longer. He was so pathetic. And then he heard how Krishna's voice started to speak over all this noise. He said very peacefully, oh, is that the king of the Bojas? And he looked to Kamsa. And then he said, a person who has moved already halfway to death, no one should lament if he moves the other half. These are very heavy words, you know. Someone who has already moved halfway to death, no one should lament when he moves the other half. And then it is described by Jiva Goswami. See, there was a long distance. Then all of a sudden, Krishna's brilliant effulgence came. And the brilliant effulgence announced to Kamsa, you will be dead. The effulgence spoke. It's like when we hear, when we meet Krishna, or when we come in contact with Krishna, we get many, many signs. Krishna is very communicative in many ways. Yes. Okay, anyone else wants to know? Parents. Krishna's parents, like Nanda and Vasudev and Devaki, apparently were also briefly there, although later we find they were again in the prison. Krishna's parents, like Nanda and Vasudev and Devaki, saw him as their Shishu. Shishu is a Sanskrit word and a Bengali word. Shishu means small boy. Shishu. When you have children, you can call them Shishu. Oh, Shishu, come here. Shishu. They saw that he was very tender and asked themselves, why did he have to come here? Kamsa is so terrible. Look, they don't even know how to present themselves in public, you know, because of their unusual outfit. Nanda thought they're not properly dressed and, you know, they are small. They're so small. They're little boys. It's described, it's Vasalya Rasa and a mood of compassion, Karuna Rasa, because Nanda Maharaj could see that there were people present in the arena who wanted to hurt his dear Krishna, and Nanda felt compassion, Karuna Rasa. I want to say something else here. There were priests, you know, we had heard about brahmanas who worshipped the bow and who were really into tantra and all of this. They saw Krishna as some overwhelming power, which they didn't like at all. They saw him as the universal force, you know, Virat Rupa. And these bewildered people started to say, just see, what sort of Supreme Lord is he? He steals others' wives and slaughters cows. They were thinking of Arishtasura and other innocent creatures. Indeed, even now his limbs are contaminated with the bones and blood of some living being. This Krishna is most repulsive to look at. These were the extremely sinful blasphemers who were unintelligent and more fallen than other demons. Their mood was a rasabasa of the vibhatsa ras. It's called the ras of ghastliness. So, but Krishna happily moved in the arena, smiling. Krishna always smiles. We will hear tomorrow when Krishna fought, he never stopped smiling. He just smiled. Krishna could. Just his smile never leaves the transcendental Lord. He's smiling. Only Balaram became angry and his eyes became red copper-like. But Krishna smiled and everyone was in love with him except for these few impure exceptions. So we will end now the katha with some song. Good. I want to request you to now glorify Krishna. We have a song which from Gopal Champu, which summarizes it. Wow, this is Krishna in action. Thank you very much for having such an action photo. My God, is this an action photo. We move a little bit ahead. This is, you know, when Krishna had finished his leela of killing the restless, and other restless came rushing at him, and Kamsa's brothers came, and then he started to dance. See, Krishna is not really fighting. At least, you know, he's dancing here. Can you see how he dances? This is our Lord is different. So, five? Do we have five? So, Tanu tata kubja chanana chitaka kubja vakrima hriti krita chitraka Tanu tata kubja chanana chitaka kubja vakrima hrini krita chitaka. O Lord, whose body was artistically anointed with sandalwood by Kubja. O Lord, who removed the girl's crookedness and made her wonderfully beautiful. Kangsa makastita danur anuyoyaka Nagara janana shuka shatha yojaka kamsa makasita
Danu anu yoyaka Nagara danana Sukashata yoyaka.
O Lord, who asked, where is the bow of Kamsa's yagya? O Lord, who brought 100 happinesses to the people of Mathura.
Kansa danu maka danu ranu bangada tadasahano data Yodrishu Bangada Kangsa Danu Aka Danu Anu Bangada Tadasahano Data Yodrishu Bangada.
O Lord, who broke the bow in Kamsa's Danurjagya, O Lord, who defeated many ferocious and invincible warriors,
Hastipamano Nija Vatma Samadaka Tasmindritirushi Hasti Vimaraka Hasti Pamanunida Padma Samaraka Nainaita Osushi Asti Vimaraka Bratra Sahakari Danta Vibhushana Rangam Pravishan Boja Vibhushana Pratra Sahakari Danta Vibhushana Rangam Pravishan Boja Vibhushan Gaja Raktaribi Angam Parichita Vahu Vidha Bhavai Vividam Parichita Gaja Raktaribi Agam Parichita Nakhu Vidarova Vividam Parichita.
These verses describe how Krishna goes into the arena, and it says, O Lord, whose body was sprinkled with drops of the elephant's blood. O Lord, who was seen in different ways by the different groups in the arena.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram. Hey, Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram. Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram. Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram. Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram.
Two things remain to be done. Please turn to your neighbor. I have a question for you. Please imagine by some extraordinary good fortune, you would have been in the arena. Huh? And the music is going. The wrestlers are showing their bodies. Did they have tattoo at that time? They had. Tattoos are visible from the wrestling tattoos are visible. I think since time immemorial, humans had that desire to inflict pain on them for beautification. So. They are sitting there. It's a really, the king of Mathura has given a huge festival. Music is there. And now the wrestling match is going to start with some real champions. Chanura is there. Mushtika, real powerful wrestlers. And at this moment, the scene is not quite complete. There is some commotion at one of the doors. No one knows what it is. The door opens. All of a sudden, Krishna and Balaram move into the arena in a most amazing outfit. Everyone is taken in by their outstanding darshan. You know, they look at the Lord, some of them for the first time, most of them for the first time, and you are there, and it's so breathtaking. Now you turn to your neighbor and describe to your neighbor what you see. You have to talk about Krishna and Balaram, something which you know. You are a Brahmana, or I mean, most of you are Brahmanas, but some of you are maybe from the pharma class, and you know others, and you talk, maybe the ladies like Yamuna talk about his beauty, you know, and others see him like a flash of lightning. What do you see? please turn to your neighbor and describe. But don't talk about prasadam or anything. You are now in the arena. Do your task. It's only 3 minutes. Concentrate. Start now.
Instant? You cannot talk.
Sisi Krishna Balaram ki. Shri Krishna Balaram ki. Shri Krishna Balaram ki. Go Premanandi. Hari Hari Bo. Hare Krishna. So, thank you very much for participating in this session. We will not have a session tomorrow in that normal sense of the word. I will read to you something from the Bhagavatam during the Harinam session. Tomorrow is a very important day for us. Maybe it is the most important day for at least many of us, if not most of us. Tomorrow we will do for the first time on our Swiss summer camp, a 12-hour kirtan. This 12-hour kirtan is arranged like this. We have the names of the kirtaniyas, which will be posted on a list outside of the temple room. I think Gaurahari is in the process of finishing that list. So you can see when those devotees sing whom you, where you feel very inspired and encouraged to join in, and then organize your day accordingly. I suggest to you that you make a plan to really give for Krishna's pleasure a maximum amount of chanting time where you are present and singing. You might think in your in some thought you might have, oh, I would also like to walk a little bit in the nature, or it would be nice to have a day off where there is nothing going on for me. Why this 12-hour kirtan? It is really an intense program, and this is supposed to be a holiday camp, you know, Schweizer Ferienlager, it says. Ferien means holidays. The idea of the word holiday is holidays from material consciousness. So you will see that tomorrow is a very wonderful opportunity to do something which you can really never do in any other place and in any other time. Most of us don't live in temples, and some of us don't live close to temples. So tomorrow it is possible to sing with many devotees the holy name. That is something which most of us don't get to do very often. It's actually a unique opportunity. There's more devotees together. Usually you are alone in your apartment, or there is your child and your divorced wife. I'm joking. You are the three of you or four of you, but this is really a special event in your life. And you will see, if you really do this, take part in the sense of doing a service for Krishna, doing a little yajna, a little sacrifice for Krishna, you will easily come to the next step in your spiritual advancement, your spiritual evolution. It will come very easily. Let me give you already now so that you can, organize your consciousness when you go to bed, an advice. We will have breakfast like always, and then at 10 o'clock sharp, Swiss punctuality, the kirtan will start here. I don't think that most of you will participate for 12 hours. That's a little long, really. But I suggest that you go for a minimum of 8 hours or 6 hours. Many of us work for 8 hours a day. So tomorrow we will it is good to give a minimum of 8 hours of singing to Krishna. You will see there is an extraordinary result waiting for you. Then, from, I believe, 12 o'clock to 4 o'clock, we have something like a buffet. That is, you can chant. You don't have to run all of us, everyone, to the prasadam, and then wait for half an hour until your turn comes to fill up your plate. No, you can see a little, according to the number of devotees in the temple room, when it is a good time for you to go and take your prasadam. And then you might like to take a little rest, or you might like to move a little bit about. So in this way, 8 hours is easy. Make some pause so that you can rest a little, think a little bit, be a little bit for yourself tomorrow, think about Krishna, and in this way, utilize this unique opportunity. It's really a unique opportunity which doesn't come by so often. Good. I want to thank you very much for your participation so far. I do hope that during this summer camp you get many treasures which you are applying in your spiritual life. Treasures in the sense of insights, realizations, new determinations, and so on. Tomorrow we are halfway through the summer camp, so let us use our time properly and then make full use of this. Dobro. This is what was in my mind. Is there something else? Yes, devotees have asked what is the evening program. It is this time a short program. It's a parigram through Vashana. We have made a very extraordinary new concept. It will be with nice bhajans, narrations of Radha and Krishna's Vasana pastimes, and also some special spots which you will see. And all this will be done in the mood of pilgrimage. We will move through the town and through the holy places, and we will start at 8 o'clock. So please be here if you punctually, if you wish to attend that program. It will be about 1 hour, maximum 1.5 hour. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful evening, and Hare Krishna!